any Christmas carols?
Oh, no, you misunderstood me. I love everything about Christmas. It is the most wonderful time of the year. I love everything about it. I love the carols. I love the trees, the lights, the mistletoe.
The presents.
The holly, the eggnog.
The presents.
And all the characters. Santa Claus and Ebenezer Scrooge and the Ghost of Christmas
Present.
And the George Babies and the Frosty the Snowman and the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
And Jesus.
Sure.
Right. Yeah.
Jesus, Yahweh, Muhammad, Buddha, Harry Potter, the Flying Spaghetti Monster. I love them all.
No. No, Christmas is about Jesus. And there were shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord came upon them and said unto them, Behold, I bring you tidings of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
Amen. I love the nativity story. Let's get it on.
Hey, now, be careful. The nativity story is sacred.
Yeah, oh, yes, I mean, I know that for Christians, Christmas is all about Jesus. But tonight's holiday pageant celebrates all the winter traditions, from the religious to the secular. Because after all, Christmas is not just for Christians anymore.
Pagan.
What? You keep calling. I'm not a pagan. I am a utilitarian. I believe in God, but it's useful.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its sixth year, number 261, Adjustments and Reactions. A short excerpt there from the early moments of the Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged, where we try to set up the course of what the evening is going to be while establishing some of our characters' pertinent traits, and hopefully getting a few laughs along the way. We've just finished our second weekend of performances of Ultimate Christmas here at the Merrimack Rep and in Lowell, Massachusetts, and the response has been really great. 4.5 of the 5 reviews we've received so far have been absolute raves, and the half review that wasn't so great was from a guy who really likes sports and so was disappointed in this one. Thankfully, he is in the minority. We're getting standing ovations every night, and we're continuing to sell boatloads of tickets and break box office records. And because this will be our last chance to work on this show in front of an audience until next Christmas, we only have 2 weeks left to make changes and experiment with ways to improve the show. Reed Martin, Matt Rippey, and I gathered briefly in the dressing room before our performance last night to talk about how it's going. So we continue to make changes. We're just about to finish the second weekend here of the Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged, and we're making not really huge changes. We're not making large.
None of them are big, but they're great in number.
Right. There's a lot of little ones. I remember in sports we cut out a whole section, and we've cut the biggest section we've cut is from the end. We used to have sort of a 3 musical encore. And we cut it to 1. That's the biggest cut.
And I think because they love the little nutsy, you know, sort of puppet nutcracker.
Right.
And so then let's get to the end.
Yeah. Let's just get out. And the minute we made that cut, people started clapping along, and it's like, right, well, that was a good cut.
And it was a continuation of the energy. The energy after Little Nutsy was so great that then coming back down to reprise 3 numbers with a building energy meant that you had to start back down and get it back up. Right. That's where we just come bang in with Christmas Quantica Hanzika, and that has a higher energy, which means you can continue that surge.
No, that's right. And then
to the end.
Describing it musically like that is exactly right, because I think it had been my idea at the beginning that you start small and it builds and builds and builds. Well, you can't start small because we've established such, as you guys are saying, such a height.
Yeah. I'd say before every show, there's usually, I don't know, half a dozen things we say, oh, let's try this differently, which is a different move or cut a line or add a line. And, you know, so lots of nips and tucks. Oh, let me try to hug you here. Oh, that didn't work. We don't need to do that again.
Or mostly surgical.
Yeah. Or I'm saying 3 lines here, but I think I don't need it. I think I can say this in 2. Shall I try that? Yeah.
Right.
And that sort of stuff.
Well, and sometimes we've broken it.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes it changes.
We have to restore.
Yeah. We have to go back and where we go. And it's weird because you kind of don't know that until you try it. And you go, oh, this will work. Oh,
that really didn't work. Mm-hmm. And let's go
only,
back.
Yeah. If only scientifically we could get the same audience, but then use that thing like they did Men in Black and like erase their memory, but bring the same audience back and then do another show with only a right. few cuts and changes and then see what the reaction is. But instead, you get a different audience every time. And it's like, well, oh, God, did we change or did they change?
But that's the beauty of live theater.
I'm always reminded of Groucho Marx when we're doing this. They'd do a show and then people who worked with him said, you know, then he'd have a punchline and he would just say it slightly differently for weeks until he found out, you know, and then he'd come back to something he'd tried before and then he would eventually find out, you know, by doing it many different ways and then coming back and trying it again. Oh, well, that's consistently the funniest line.
Well, and what's been tough for me, just personally as an actor, is that it's only now at the end of the second week that I feel like, okay, I now know the show well enough to begin to look at it, to begin to have a third eye while I'm performing. Because I don't feel like I had that until sort of this weekend. Now I feel like, okay, now I can sort of watch the show while I'm doing it because I feel more comfortable about how to act it.
That's interesting, because I've now only been brave enough to open my second eye. And so now you'll notice that I'm looking at you with both my eyes. So that,
I seem a lot more three-dimensional. I'm not, but I seem more three-dimensional to men.
Yes, you're incredibly lifelike. We've also seen a lot of old friends and fans here at Merrimack Rep, including Cindy Lee, who lives in the New York area and schlepped up to see us here in Massachusetts, and who we know better as Cindy in NYC, which is her handle from our old chat room on our website and now on Twitter, and who explained to me what she mostly does on social media now.
I'm more of a lurker. I don't post very, very often, but I've tried to get more into it.
Well, and lurker is a very nice way to say what you really are, which is a stalker.
Yes, that's true.
Reduced stamp of approval. RSC loves Cindy Lee.
Chunk, 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 chunk. Well, and you have traveled the width and breadth and the length of certainly the East Coast.
If not, you know, parts Europe unknown.
Where did you see us in Europe? Oh, you came to London?
I've been to the London shows. I've seen Adam doing his Bible, Complete Bible.
Wow.
Then this was, of course, a long time ago because he's not doing that now. But I've actually been to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival as well to see you guys.
Well you know, you're just...
And Reston, Virginia.
Well, you're lucky to get a seat. Well, we just, you know, every now and then we'll look down in the front row and there you are.
I know.
And there's that face. And you used to be, when we had a chat page on our website, pre-Facebook, pre-MySpace, everything else, you were quite an active participant there. What is it that drives you to come see us so much?
You're very funny. You know, I'm addicted to the comedy, and, you know I'm getting a quality product when I see you guys.
All right. That is very good. That's both an artistic review and a marketplace review.
Yeah, that's for the poster.
Yeah. We're putting that on the poster. Cindy in NYC says, well, and you're a very respectful stalker, too.
Oh, I try.
And we enjoy talking to you because you can hold up your end of a conversation, which is, too, you seem not at all impressed by talking to us.
As it should be.
Yes, as it should be.
Well, you know, you guys did hook me in the first time you tried to kidnap my friend when I saw you guys at the Arts Theatre in London. The very first time. And, you know, it's going to be your 20-year anniversary next year.
Jesus, who's counting? You are, clearly, stalker.
And it's going to be my 20th year of following you guys.
Wow, next summer.
Yeah. It'll be our anniversary.
Well, that's very exciting. Well,
I tried to kidnap my friend, and, you know, I was just like, these guys are excellent.
Well, and here we are in just the second weekend of our run, of the very first run of Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged, and now you've seen it twice.
Yes.
You came last night into the matinee, and was it, you've seen all of our shows. So
yes,
you,
I have.
And how
I'm
does
very
this,
proud of that.
And how does, including Millennium.
Including Millennium.
Yeah. And
the
what?
The original Millennium.
The original.
Not called Western Civilization, as some people say it.
Right. And how, so you know, I mean, you're kind of the audience that we're trying to write the shows for, because we want to deliver a show that people will understand and recognize as a reduced Shakespeare Company show, but not the same old crap every show, you know? So how did we deliver on this show?
I think this show is excellent. I really do, you know.
I saw you taking notes.
Yes.
Because this isn't like TV. We can see you in the front row.
I did take notes, and the reason I did take notes was because I knew the show obviously wasn't going to tour after the holidays, and it'd be a while. So it's my way of reliving the show, really, you know? and you know, because the jokes come so fast and furious, I like to try and, you know, encapsulate them so that way I go, oh, God, that line is so brilliant. You know, and, you know, everything goes so fast that, you know, I want to make sure that I get it down so that way I can remember it.
Right.
You know, before the scripts come out and then I purchase the scripts.
Right. There you go.
Because I do that.
And did you used to write reviews, or am I confusing with somebody
else? No, I never used to write reviews.
Or blog, I just...
No,
unfortunately. That was another stalker.
Yeah, exactly. You've got many, I'm sure.
No, we do have many, but there's only a handful that we sort of recognize and talk to.
Oh.
Because we know, I recognize some from Twitter and Facebook and the chat room, but like Sarah Wilkinson, I think is her last name, Rabbit Psycho. She's one.
Oh, right. I recognize her screen name.
Right. And there's a couple, and there's a handful of others. But I mean, you guys are the two most recognizable ones to us.
Well, a lot of them.
You've got pictures of us backstage.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Aware of this person.
Yes.
A lot of folks get shy.
Yeah.
You know, and we're, and so we just don't think of ourselves as people that you need to be shy around. But some, you know, but some people are, you know, they're very social on, you know, on the computer, but they're not social in person. So I think they're shy or starstruck. God knows why.
Well, and I know people who are the exact opposite too. People who are just so crazy and talkative or friendly in person and can't be bothered with texting or tweeting or Facebooking and anyone. I don't blame them because I know that they're so friendly in real life. Mm-hmm. They don't have to be friendly online.
Yeah.
Well, you know, also, you know, we have busy lives, and sometimes you're able to contribute more online than you are, you know, in person, or if you just don't have the chance.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
and
it
just
depends on the personality.
Your parents / significant other, other people in your life, they tolerate this passion of yours?
They have in the past. I encourage them highly. You know, I've definitely dragged quite a few people to the shows, and they've come out with nothing but positive things to say. You know?
And your boyfriend was here last night, but he declined to come today.
Yes, you know, he
there are limits.
Well, I am happy to see the show over and over and over again because it amuses me, and I love to laugh, and I'm a great audience, personally.
Yes,
but,
you are.
But thank you. I often feel like people are watching me laughing really loud, and I can't help it.
Well, there are obnoxious laughers in the front row, but you're not one of them.
You laugh
obnoxiously enough.
So when you're not coming to see our shows, I should know this. What do you do for a living?
I work in an office.
Uh-huh.
I'm, you know, an executive assistant.
Okay.
I follow, you know, other bands and stuff, but, you know, the Redoux Shakespeare Company is a very long-time love of mine.
That's great. Well, listen, always great to see you.
Absolutely.
Thank you
wonderful.
So much for
thank
coming,
you.
And thank you for talking to everybody on the podcast.
Thank you, everyone. Go see the Redoux Shakespeare Company's new show. And the Redoux Shakespeare Sports show is absolutely hysterical as well, I must add.
Nice.
Hi, everybody. I'm Frank Malacota. I'm the morning anchor at Channel 5, CBS Channel 5, KPIX in San Francisco, and I always listen to the Redoux Shakespeare podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? Well, you can see us performing the Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged at the Merrimack Repertory Theater in Lowell, Massachusetts for only two more weeks until December 18th. From January to March 2012, you can see us performing The Complete World of Sports Abridged in Yakima, Tacoma, and Edmonds, Washington, Reston, Virginia, New Bremen, Ohio, Kent State in Ohio, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, Waverly, Iowa, and Sonoma and Santa Rosa, California. And we hope to be able to tell you about where we'll be performing next summer. Summer very, very soon. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Redoux Reader, our email newsletter. Go to RedouxShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. And now back to another old friend who came up to see us, Elaine Randolph, the Great Dane, one of our stage managers who lives near Washington, D.C.
Got to get the important feedback now from Elaine Randolph. You were there for the very first or second reading of some of the pages from some of just this random sketches for the Ultimate Christmas Show, and now you have schlepped all the way up here from Washington, D.C. to Lowell, Massachusetts to scout it out, to see what we have wrought. What's the report?
I laughed my way through the show.
Good.
Which was great.
Has it changed? I mean, did hearing the sketches in whatever hotel we were in prepare you at all for what you saw tonight?
It was such a different show. I mean, there were parts of it that were still there, but so much of it was so very different from what what I heard that night.
Did you remember anything that we had done?
I did. I remembered the 12 Days of Christmas and the lead into that.
Right.
And I remembered you talking about perhaps doing some Bee Gees moments, but it's totally eclipsed by the sight gag of seeing you in the purple paisley doing the Bee Gees moves.
A lot, yeah, it's true.
A lot of guys can't get away with that purple paisley, silk purple paisley, but on us, I think it really works. But you sat here with a New England audience there in the Merrimack Rep. What was the vibe in the audience? Because we can't tell. We're up on stage.
Oh, they're loving it.
Yeah?
They're loving it. The booze jokes.
Well, this is right. We finish the second act. Basically, the Hamlet of our ultimate Christmas show is a traditional English Christmas panto, where we do it, where we tell the story of the first Christmas, and so and for American audiences, we have to explain.
Yeah, we have to explain that normally an English panto is based on a children's story or fairy tale like Jack and the Beanstalk, Cinderella, Aladdin. But then you, within the plot of the show, have decided to write a Christmas panto, and you think a Christmas panto tells the story of the birth of Jesus, right. And I'm aghast.
All right.
I've been in theater a long time, but I've never seen a panto. And so this was my first panto experience.
Yes.
And it's a very audience participation, even more so than normal with an RSC show.
Well, what totally got me by surprise was how much the audience loved that part of it and really wanted to participate. Yeah. I guess I shouldn't be surprised by that, but it was just kind of funny. They all wanted to do a panto.
Well, Matt Rippey and I stand backstage every night when Austin is the character Wolf Blitzen, and then he's explaining to the audience, the American audience, how you participate in a panto. And we're just amazed at how enthusiastically they join in.
Well, and we were saying that this show, when we're dragging volunteers up on stage, you know, in some shows it's like pulling teeth, finding people to come up and participate with us. But in this show...
Well, they hold on to those seat armchairs. They don't want to go up.
Right, they don't want to go anywhere. But in this, with maybe one exception, every audience, there's been a couple of volunteers of people who want to participate. They actually want to come on stage, and they don't. Usually, you want to avoid those people, but here, they don't have to do anything but stand there in this one. So it's actually okay. But that's a nice change, and I don't know whether that's the subject matter, whether that, you know, it's Christmas, so everybody knows not how to behave.
Or is it that we've gotten them all to join in just vocally from their seats, so maybe that loosens them up and go, oh, this is fun, I'm up for more of this.
That's true. We actually have audience participation in the first act. Did it feel like, I don't know, this is a weird question, did it feel like a Redux Shakespeare Company show?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you stage managed so many of the shows.
Yeah, it definitely did. Yeah. It definitely did. And having that whole 12 Days of Christmas early in the first act really loosens everybody up.
Yes.
That was really cool.
Yes.
To feel the difference in before that and the difference after that in the audience.
Right, I know. For the first time we have a kind of an audience participation in the first act, and you're right, it does loosen them up and gets them into it. And again, I'm looking for volunteers, and I'm actually finding people who want to contribute.
Well, it's a nice sort of transitional audience participation because the people don't have to get out of their seats.
Right.
To do it in the first act, which is maybe good.
And it's not difficult.
Yeah.
You know, they just have to come up with a couple of suggestions, and when they don't, we're able to give them grief. Come on, people. You know how the bit works now. You might have to step it up here a little bit.
Now, granted, I just saw the two shows, but it seemed to me it's kind of funny because the people who would more readily answer and answer something funny are the people who are our generation,
yes.
Rather than...
Oh, the younger people.
Yeah, the under 20 crowd.
Yeah, right. No, you're right. It's absolutely right. The people who are participating, although that one woman, I almost pulled her up to be married tonight, who actually sang her contribution. Did 7 digital cameras, which was pretty awesome. It's great, but I think there's something about the holiday spirit of the show itself, you know?
Yeah, and I wanted those 11 old guys to marry myself.
Yeah, somebody said, we called on somebody, we need 11 something. She said, yeah, I want 11 old guys to marry.
And then another guy goes, 12 grandchildren. I mean, this is giving you an idea of the age of the audiences here in Lowell.
Yeah.
I mean, but on a Saturday night, it was it's pretty festive. We're getting a lot of kids, too, which is nice.
Yeah.
But they're not participating quite so much. Any other thoughts? Any other notes, Elaine?
My mind is still reeling with images of Mary and Joseph and Juicy Couture and diapers. So...
Quite a bit of RSE flesh on view in the Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged.
No, no, no. We want to sell tickets. We don't.
Oh, sorry.
Don't
sorry.
Tell them.
Yeah. No, it's Matt Rippey. It's totally Matt Rippey.
Well, I love that you say you really like Reed and I playing, Reed playing Mary and me playing Joseph, because Reed and I are like an old married couple, so why not?
Well, those scenes were so tight in the dialogue. It was great. It was like you could tell, first of all, that both of you had been married. Not to each other, but...
We should just, yes, not to each other.
I've put in a long time in two marriages.
This is true. We are wily veterans. And we are ready to bring all that experience to the stage. Well, Elaine, thank you for schlepping all the way up here to Lowell to see us.
Oh, it was lots of fun.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your adjustments and reactions via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on our website podcast page, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, adjuster-in-chief Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band, and of course to Eric Essex, whose Christmas CD, My Gift to You, is available at his website, ericessex.net. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Patricia Gallagher. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Frank Malicote, formerly of Fox 56 here in Boston, but now morning anchor at KPIX Channel 5 in San Francisco, California. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 261-783 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Inside of you in those juicy pants. This baby Jesus is going to haunt us.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.